All right, nice to have you back with us as we wrap up this part of the pregame. We've got Nick Pecoro joining us. Nick, of course, covers the Diamondbacks for the Arizona Republic. Nick, how are you this morning?
Hey, Marty, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and I know a lot of fans in the Bay Area enjoy your reports, and especially the last couple of weeks. Madison Bumgarner has turned his season around, Nick, and you've seen it firsthand. How do you explain it, and can this continue?
I think he can. He looks a lot better. He looks a lot more confident. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest thing that stands out to me. I just feel like maybe it's success, like, fooling me into thinking that it's happening, like, that way. But, it could be the other way around. But it just feels to me like he's throwing pitches with a lot more conviction. He's attacking guys with more confidence, and it just feels like it's resulting the way that it has been. I don't know. I mean, it kind of felt like in the past he just was a little bit more tentative. He was maybe a little bit more worried about getting hit. And again, maybe I'm just kind of filling in what Matt Hurtis, the pitching coach, has said, and it just kind of has clouded my view, but. You know, he talked about Bumgarner getting back to, like, hey, you're Madison Bumgarner, man. Just kind of go out there and pitch like it. That's what it feels like he's done here these last few times.
Boy, beautiful. Nick Pecoro with us, Arizona Republic. Nick, of course, the controversy around, is it a no-hitter or isn't it a no-hitter? He celebrated eventually like it was a no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, he called it, you know, he called it an outing that he was very proud of. He was saying it was, you know, ranks up there among the best performances of his career. So, yeah, I mean, he certainly viewed it that way. And look, I understand both sides of it. He didn't get to choose that it was a 7-inning game. And I mean, having watched it, I don't have a whole lot of doubt that he would have been able to finish it. I mean, he was in complete control. But look, I mean, you and I both know we've seen a lot of games where guys are in complete control. A lot of times where guys have just been dominating for, you know, upwards of seven plus innings. And then one pitch and it's gone all of a sudden. I was in San Francisco when Yusmeiro Petit,
right.
I think, came within one out of a perfect game.
Eric Chavez.
I mean, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, we've all seen that sort of thing happen. I understand the argument of, like, look, are we going to go back and give no-hitters all these guys that threw 7 2/3? Or, you know, it's not an easy answer. I don't feel like, and I think that's why it's a fun debate to have.
Yeah, I think we saw Bumgarner go a perfect game until Justin Morneau. I think it was Justin Morneau of the Rockies broke it up in the 8th inning. I think he had pitched a perfect game up to that point. Well, whatever. It's nice to see him doing well. He's a big hero in the Bay Area. And if Hurtis said just go out and be Madison Bumgarner, I could see him adjusting to that. And that's the kind of guy he is. So good news for him. What about the Arizona Diamondbacks? Off to a terrible start. Injuries, like, all over the place. Like baseball, a lot of injuries this year. But they've turned it around quite a bit, and now sort of back in the mix.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a tougher one for me to explain. I do think that a lot of these guys, there are things to like about them, and that some of them have been playing well during the stretch, but it's been kind of crazy seeing some of these lineups that they've been running out there with Josh Van Meter and Wyatt Matheson and Nick Keith and Josh Rojas and some of these guys that I would expect a lot of the people listening out there right now, people have never heard of these guys. And yet they've been winning games. I think they've been getting a lot of timely hitting. I think that, it sort of feels like they're in one of those stretches where, like, they're winning those close games, and then there's some games where they're just getting boat raced. I think that they're sort of racing for the returns of some guys, and Christian Walker, their first baseman, is not far from coming back. Tim LaCastro, one of their outfielders, one of their speedy outfielders, is close. Ketel Marte is a little ways away. Joaquin Soria is going to be back pretty soon. So, there is some hope on the horizon on the injury front, but, like, it's been kind of crazy to watch. I'm not sure I totally get it quite yet. There have been some promising signs. I don't want to make it seem like there haven't been. Josh Rojas, especially the last couple of weeks, has looked terrific. Paven Smith, who was their first-round pick back in 2017, the first-round pick of this front office, was kind of drafted as like this control-the-strike-zone first baseman. And he's been actually playing some center field for them and looking pretty decent at it, actually. And hitting, you know, having really good bats and hitting balls hard. So those are some encouraging signs. They're hanging in there, though. They're getting through this injury stretch and hope to come out of it the other side with a winning record.
Well, it's a story of pitching, though, but they're getting some decent pitching. But now Widener looks like he's been injured, and they've got some bang up on the pitching side.
Yeah, so like we talked about, Bumgarner looks like he's back on track, so that's really encouraging, and that's the most important thing that's happened lately on that front. Zach Gallen has been pretty good since coming back. He was obviously awesome that same day that Bumgarner overshadowed him. Gallen threw the one-hitter when Bumgarner threw the no-hitter over the seven-inning game. But there's been some questions in the rest of the rotation. You mentioned Widener had kind of come in and pitched really well for five starts or whatever it was before going down with a groin injury. They don't think it's too serious, but Luke Weaver and Merrill Kelly have been inconsistent. Merrill is going to pitch again today, so we'll get a sense of whether he can turn things around. He threw much better his last time out, but obviously when you see a guy do it a couple starts in a row, it makes you feel better about things. And then the bullpen has been really up and down. They had a couple days where they were just dominant, and then I think they gave up 10 runs last night. So, they're hoping to get Soria back. But they've had some struggles down there, and they've had to change out some personnel as a result of it recently.
Nick, what's it like at the ballpark? Are fans coming out, and is there enthusiasm around it? It's funny because you named all these names. And I think for 90% of them, I don't know who you're talking about. So what's it like at the ballpark?
Yeah, you never really know, like, what to read out of the attendance numbers at this point. Just because you don't know how many people are comfortable coming out and all that. But it's been a really good vibe, I got to say. I mean, it's so much better than last year, you know, when it was the fake crowd sound. It's funny how few fans you actually need in attendance to create a vibe, a buzz, which is a thing you'd never really had to have thought about in the past. But it doesn't take many. It does feel like they've had some pretty good crowds, though, I mean, especially on the weekends. It's been fun. It's been, I don't know, it's just one of those things you didn't realize how much you'd miss until it was gone, you know?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point because we felt it in the Bay Area and also watching games in San Diego. It doesn't take a lot of fans to create that atmosphere. It really, really changed the game having the fans there this year. And the games have really been terrific, and you've been in a lot of close games. You got walloped last night by Colorado. But having the fans there, it doesn't take you can expand on that a little bit. It doesn't take much to get everybody excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know what else to say other than you can just feel the energy in the building. Whereas before, like, I don't know. I mean, you heard the fake crowd sounds, and I feel like if you kind of just kept your eyes on the field, you were able to sort of convince yourself that it was normal. But there were just enough, like, weird, I don't know, just so much weird stuff going on that it was obvious that it wasn't. But it just feels a lot more like regular baseball, even if it's still half capacity at best. Maybe we're all just trying to stay optimistic, and maybe it still is super weird. And if you would have presented this scenario to somebody 2 years ago, they would have realized how weird it is. But for us, it's like this—it's this great development. It's so welcome.
Yep, I agree. Well, the Rockies are in town. The Giants go to Colorado tomorrow to start three games. They've seen the Rockies already for a couple of series. Is Buddy Black in trouble? And what's the vibe around the Rockies this weekend? Because they do go home where they can hit a little bit better. But boy, they've been awful.
They're terrible. Yeah, they're a bad baseball team, man. I don't know about Buddy Black. I hope not. I would hope that he could. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day, just how unfortunate it is, the situations that he's been in as a manager, the talent that he's had on his teams. It's hard to know just how good of a manager he is, given all of the circumstances. This team does not hit very well. You know, it's got a lot of guys that you can pitch to. You know, I'm looking at this lineup now. It's Tapia, Hampson, Jonathan Diaz, somebody named Trejo playing second base. Matt Adams has resurrected and is starting at first base today. I mean, and he hasn't looked very good in the few at bats that he's had in this series. So I'll say this too. Trevor Story hasn't really looked like himself. He homered last night. That was good to see for him. Ryan McMahon and Story are really the only two guys in this lineup that you feel good about. Charlie Blackman has looked better. You could maybe lend some insight onto this, but I feel like watching Charlie Blackman is like watching Buster from a few years ago, where everything is kind of technically right about the at bat, and then he makes solid contact, but it just doesn't have that life in it that it used to have. I've been really encouraged looking at the highlights and seeing the ball coming off Buster's bat differently. And I wonder what's going on with Blackman. And he hit a couple balls harder last night, so that was good to see. But I just hope he's not entering some kind of decline, you know, a steep decline phase.
Well, he needs some people around him. That's what I saw in the six games the Giants have had with the Rockies, is that there's a lot of pressure on him, and he just can't carry the load. He's just not a carrier. He's a contributor. And that's my feeling with it, that the supporting cast has let him down, including Trevor Story, who's not having a big year. Well, I think the Diamondbacks, just to sum it up as we wrap it up, the Diamondbacks are a pleasant surprise so far. We get to see you at the end of the month, but it's been a good start.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one of the more interesting things, and I mentioned all these no names at the beginning, was just the way that some of those guys have kind of emerged and looked like. Again, they have their warts, but they also kind of look like they could be contributors. And I think they were hoping that, you know, from the group of like Josh Van Meter, Wyatt Matheson, Andrew Young, Josh Rojas, Tim LaCastro, that a couple of these guys would emerge and prove themselves to be, you know, kind of in the ilk of you know, what the Dodgers have been able to do with a Chris Taylor or a Max Muncy, or even to a lesser degree, Edwin Rios or Matt Beatty, like turn them into usable big leaguers. And it kind of feels like these guys are on that track. And then we'll see with Paven Smith and Dalton Varsho, guys like that, if there's more than that in there. There's been some good stuff. They've played competitively. It's been nice to watch. It certainly felt after the first 10 days or so it was going to be a long, long 6 months for us. But it's been a lot more fun to watch.
Well, beautiful having you on, Nick, and a great report. We'll talk to you at the end of the month. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, good to have Nick with us. All right, Bill is going to take us into the booth and talk some baseball. Back with you next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. And we've got Giants baseball today, so have a good afternoon, everybody.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.